Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's a pleasure for me to be here with you this evening. I came for a business and economic forum that will be in Washington from Monday to Thursday. I came in earlier with a desire to rest. And Calvin, I also have my rest. You wouldn't get me work all this time. I also look for time to rest. I've had a very busy this 6 or 7 weeks period from the day that Brother Zach, our founder, the founder and leader of our work, died. Since then, I wonder if I've had 3 straight hours of sleep since Brother Zach passed away on the 14th of March. So it's been quite difficult, quite tough for me and for us back home. Brother Zach died suddenly on the 14th, and it was a Saturday. The following Saturday, we gave him a befitting funeral. And since then, since the 21st, when he was buried, it's been much work on my part, trying to console the brethren, trying to get them back to our vision, to our work, so that we don't spend the year mourning or spend the rest of our lives mourning and asking God, why did you do this or that? This forum was planned since last year. So I said, well, I'll use the opportunity of the forum to run away from work and rest when Calvin said I should meet some of the leaders here in Durham, some of those who are with him here in this part of the country. Well, we say, Lord, your will be done. But without any doubt, we've questioned God, why did you do it? Why did you take away Brother Zach at this time? I remember we were at the hospital, the university teaching hospital, where he was, when the doctor was trying to reanimate him. There were some elders inside, some of the elders of the church inside. The specialist is a brother in the church, he's my disciple. So he could allow some of the elders in. I was outside, walking and praying around the hospital and telling God, you can't do this to us, because to take away Brother Zach now will be to leave us with so many unanswered questions. I remember the elder I was walking around and praying with, I told him, let us agree and ask God, give us Brother Zach for 1 more year. If you want to take him, if you love him so much and you do want to take him, please leave it with us for 1 more year. After the doctors had struggled for 3 hours and came up out to tell us that there was no hope, well, we turned and in our shock, in our pain, we started asking God, can you really do this? It's been very hard. But the work of the Lord must go ahead.
Amen.
The work of the Lord must go ahead.
Amen.
Many of the brethren came, the missionaries particularly. We have missionaries in 60 nations. Many of them came. Most of them came. Some didn't even want to go back. But we got everybody go back to his station. And we're planning to send some of the elders, some of the leaders in the church in Yaoundé in Cameroon to visit them in their mission fields, to encourage them and to tell them, please go on. For us, it's a first experience, you know. It was in 2003 when one of our very senior leaders, Brother Emmanuel Baiha, when he died in a car crash, he was going for a youth camp. He was going to carry out a youth camp for secondary school children. And on bad road, his car somersaulted and he died. It was a very big shock to us. So you can imagine what Brazak's departure is to many. We are still in mourning back home. There's no doubt. People can't get back. People can't really get back to their normal Christian life. That's the truth. I remember when I preached not long ago, I asked the brethren, do you still read the Bible? I hope you still read the Bible. I hope you still wake up to pray and to meditate on God's word. I hope you don't wake up and spend your mornings questioning God and asking him why you did this or why you did that. But things are getting back to normal very timidly, very slowly. And with this economic forum, I decided to come and use the time to catch a bit more sleep than I've had back home for the last several weeks. I will share briefly, and I won't share for long, from Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. This Revised Standard or New International Version? NIV. I want NIV. I have Revised Standards. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. There it is written, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Verse 28, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. I've used this verse to exhort, to encourage the brethren. Paul says, whatever happens. He begins by saying, whatever happens. Whatever happens, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, whatever happens. Something has happened to us. Something shocking has happened to us. Something has happened to us that has made us and that is making us ask God questions. Something has happened that is discouraging some. Maybe even causing some to give up on their faith. Something has happened to us. The one we... I was led to the Lord by Brother Zach. I was a student in his chemistry class in the university. Many of us are his spiritual children. So his departure and his sudden departure was not easy to take. But Paul says, whatever happens, because Paul knows that the believer, we will sometimes find ourselves in very difficult situations. Things will happen in our lives we cannot explain. Things will happen in our lives. Things will happen in our church which will be difficult to accept. Very difficult to accept. Paul knows that the believer finds himself in such circumstances. It may be in your family. Something happened in your family. But whatever happens, Paul says, whatever happens, something tragic may happen to your family. Something tragic may happen with your children, with yourself. I think in America now is in the economy. Whatever happens, even with the economy, whatever happens, even with your job, and God knows that the believer will go through such situations, such circumstances. Whatever happens in the church, the Paul says, whatever happens, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, no matter what, he gives us some recommendations. The first is, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, no matter the situation, pleasant, unpleasant, there is a bottom line. There is a bottom line, and this bottom line is, conduct yourself, behave in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter the situation, my conduct must uphold the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter the unpleasant circumstances, no matter the unpleasant happenings, what I don't accept, no matter what, my conduct must uphold the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us who are in this circumstance, with Brother Zach's departure, I preach to myself, I preach to the brethren, I tell every one of us, something tragic has happened. Something sad has happened. Something unpleasant has happened. But there is a bottom line. We must conduct ourselves. We must continue to conduct ourselves. We must make sure we behave in the manner that upholds the gospel of Jesus Christ. God does not allow us to go below that. That's the bottom line. Our conduct. In my shock, I should conduct myself worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In my disappointment, I must conduct myself in a manner that upholds the gospel of Jesus Christ. In my frustration, I must behave in a manner that upholds the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no room for another conduct, for another behavior. There is no room for that. I remember when Brother Zach died, a sister asked God to take her home. She too should die. I had to say, sister, that's being selfish. That's being selfish. You are married and you have children. That's being selfish. That's not conduct that upholds the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do you want to die? Who you leave your children with who? And your husband? They're all in the church. It's being selfish. That's bad conduct. We are all shocked. But we must conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor Calvin was talking about a big church in Yaoundé. Thank God we have a big church in Yaoundé. But I've often said this in our leadership training meetings and the rest. A church is built not on good doctrine. I'm not saying that we should not preach correct and good doctrine. No, our doctrines must be orthodox. It must be correct. It must be Bible-based. But a church is not built on good doctrine. That does not build a church. You can have all the correct doctrines, you have all the good doctrines, Bible-based, fundamental, evangelical, and all that, and yet not have a church. And not have a church. It's not your good doctrines that make a church. A church is not built on zeal. Have very zealous people, zealous in evangelism, zealous in one thing or another, zealous in prayer, in fasting. But zeal doesn't build a church. Zeal doesn't build a church. Correct doctrine does not build a church. What builds a church is conduct, character. A church is built on character. A church is built on the way I behave. A behavior that says, Jesus Christ truly has transformed my life. A conduct, a behavior that says, that tells those around me, Jesus Christ is in me and has truly brought about a change in my life. That's what builds the church. And in our church, we insist on Christian character. So that no matter what happens, my conduct upholds the gospel. No matter what happens at home, my conduct upholds the gospel. And on that, a church is built. On that, a church grows. Because there will always be things in our lives, in our homes, when you bring people together, different backgrounds, different colors, for us, different tribes. And I don't think the average American understands what it means, different tribes. We may be 200 here in this tribe and 500 there, but very, very different. We're very, very different. The cultures are so different, the behavior so different. And the church is made up of all such, coming from different backgrounds, different cultures, different tribes, different villages, coming together to form the body of Christ. And what will keep them going on together is conduct. A conduct, a behavior that upholds the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in our pain, in our frustration, in all that has happened since Brother Zach died, we tell ourselves there's something we must never forget. We must never forget to conduct ourselves, to behave in the way that does not bring shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because church, any community, Christian community is built not on the orthodoxy of its doctrine, not on the zeal of its members, not on how much money they have, not on the type of building in which they have their meetings, but on Christian character, on conduct. Amen.
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 No matter what happens, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then Paul goes on to say, then when I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. He talks here about one spirit. Having one spirit. Contending as one man. Well, one spirit does not mean one opinion. One spirit does not mean one opinion. We can have different opinions about an issue, but be of the same spirit. One spirit does not talk about having the same opinion, having the same taste. You all like Coke, Giant Coke. No, we don't all have to drink the same type of drink to be of the same spirit. So it's not another talk about opinions or tastes or whatever, or even temperament. But the Bible demands that we will be of one spirit. And never before in our ministry do we have to be of one spirit than now. Now that Brother Zach is gone. Being of one spirit. And it's how do we be of one spirit? How can all of us be of one spirit? How can all of us in the church in Yaoundé, more than 10,000 members, be of one spirit? We meet in more than 500 cells. More than 550 cells. How can all of us be of the one spirit? We have 24 centers. How can all of us be of one spirit? That's why it cannot be the same taste, or the same temperament, or the same opinion. No. Even with differences in that, we can be of the same spirit. We can be of one spirit depending on what or who we are looking at. Where are we? Who are we looking at? When a new leader, when Brazak's will was read, in it we find him mentioning a new leader for our ministry. Generally speaking, the brethren rejected him as a new leader. And I told them, I don't agree with you people. It's your opinion. You can say, okay, that person is Brother Zach's opinion. Well, you have your own opinion. And he has his own opinion. And he has his own opinion. But I told them, in spite of our different opinions, we must be of the same spirit. And being of the same spirit means this. That I take off my eyes from man or from men. I take off my eyes from roles. I take off my eyes from positions and from titles. I place my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and the goal that is before us. You may keep your opinion, you may keep your taste, but we'll be of the same spirit. We'll be one in the same spirit. Take off your eyes from Theodore, who is the new leader, and place your eyes on Jesus. Take off your eyes from whoever you wished was your new leader, and place them on Jesus Christ. Take off your eyes from the role you want this or that person to play, and place your eyes on the goal. Take off your eyes from the title you want this or that person to carry, and place your eyes on the goal. If our eyes are on the Lord Jesus Christ, if our eyes are on the goal that is set before us, we'll be of the same spirit. In spite of different opinions on many other things, we'll be of the same spirit. We'll be one. My eyes on Jesus, your eyes on Jesus, with one desire to glorify him. My eyes on Jesus, your eyes on Jesus, with one desire to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. My eyes on Jesus, your eyes on Jesus, to exalt him, to bring him to my environment. Your eyes on Jesus, my eyes on Jesus, to bring him to the nations. To take this gospel as far as a curse is found. We will always be of the same spirit. All the time. There will never be a time we will be of different spirits. Our opinions may differ. We will remain one spirit. Our tastes will surely differ. But we are of the same spirit. It just depends on who are you looking at. And what are you looking at? We know the goal that is before us. We know the vision that Brazak received from the Lord. As a ministry, we are to send missionaries to 250 nations. Brazak died when we had missionaries in 60 nations. We will not stop there because he's gone. We'll continue sending missionaries. We intend to send missionaries to other nations. Fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the goal. And I've exhorted the brethren, and I'll continue to do so. May we not be distracted. May we not be distracted by man or by men, by roles, by titles, by positions. May we not be distracted. May our eyes not leave the right focus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and a clear vision He's given us to accomplish. Take this gospel to the ends of the earth. Razak lived and died for that. He sacrificed everything for that. So Paul was telling these brethren, whether I come and see you or whether I only hear about you in my absence, may you stand firm in one spirit. Stand firm in one spirit by placing your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand firm in one spirit by being motivated by one thing, the glory of Jesus Christ. Stand firm in one spirit by being motivated by one thing, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to your neighborhood. Stand firm in one spirit, be motivated by one thing, that which will exalt Jesus Christ in your life as an individual, in your family, in your church. Stand firm on that. Stand firm on that. We can all contend as one man for the faith of the gospel. Everyone can. No matter your taste, no matter your opinion, no matter your desire, we always have different desires. But concerning the gospel, we can contain as one man. It is possible. It is very possible. We can be one when it comes to getting this gospel to all of this city or all of this nation. We can truly be one. You know, the wrong basis of trying to unite the brethren, what I consider wrong basis. For me, let us be united around one thing. Taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Let us be united in one thing, being motivated by the desire to see Jesus Christ exalted. You know, Satan has technology at his disposal to spread filth, to spread dirt and sin all over. There, even though his kingdom is very divided, they are very united when it comes to spreading evil. Satan is very united in his kingdom when it comes to spreading evil. But very often, believers, born-again believers, get distracted. They get distracted. They lack the commitment to that which should unite them, taking this gospel to the ends of the earth. There is that which should unite us, taking this gospel to the ends of the earth. There is that which should unite us, taking this gospel to the ends of the earth. Bringing on board anyone who will help me, help you, help us take this gospel to the ends of the earth. In spite of his opinion, in spite of his taste, bring on board anyone and everyone. Excluding no one with whom I can work to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. Containing as one man for the faith of the gospel. I don't know exactly why Paul wrote this to the church in Philippi, but I know that there was a problem in this church. There was a problem in this church between these two sisters who were fighting each other, Euodia and Syntyche. You know the story, when you ask them that they should be helped to agree. So I imagine that there was some division between in the church, being introduced by Eodia and Sintich. So I see Paul preparing the way to tell them, telling them this is the basis of your unity. The gospel of Jesus Christ must be taken to every part of the world. You are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you find agreement, you find common ground on which to be one. It is the same for us. It's the same for us. I particularly frown against division among the brethren, factions in the church. It's something I particularly hate, because that's an area in which a lot of energy is dissipated, a lot of time is wasted, while the perishing souls of men are there waiting for the gospel, and there's great delay to bring them the gospel. The strife, the fight among the brethren, and I see it quite often. And while they are doing that, they are not preaching the gospel. While they are doing that, their eyes are off the Lord Jesus Christ and placed on man, either for or against him. Placed on man, placed on men, either for or against. Then we are no longer of the same spirit. Then we are no longer able to contend as one man. The gospel is put aside. And the church suffers. More so, the Lord, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ suffers. Not so. That's not God's will. That's not God's plan. It always comes. This always happens when the eyes of the people are off the Lord Jesus Christ. When the eyes of Eodia and Sintich, these two ladies, their eyes must have been off the Lord Jesus Christ, on themselves and on some other person. When the eyes of the brethren are off the Lord Jesus Christ and on themselves. When the eyes of the brethren are off Jesus Christ and on men and on man. The truth is that the goal is always compromised. The goal is always lost. Church growth is put aside. Church planting is put aside. They can no longer contend as one man for the gospel. They now contend one against the other. Brother against brother. Sister against sister. And the gospel is lost. That's why Paul was writing, and that's what I understand from this passage. We can be of one spirit. It just depends on whom we are looking at. Jesus Christ. Not myself. Not my brother. We can contend as one man for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We seek not personal glory. We seek not personal positions and titles and roles. We seek to accomplish a goal that is clear. Win souls to the Lord. Plant churches. So whatever happens, my conduct, a conduct that should uphold the gospel. Secondly, my focus on Jesus Christ, so that I can be one of the same spirit with my brethren. And my focus, the goal, which is to take the gospel all over the world. And in verse 28, Paul says, and this should be without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Not being frightened in any way by those who oppose. There will always be those who oppose. There will always be those who oppose. There will always be those who will do something or who will say something with the goal of taking my eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ to myself. There will all be those who will say something or do something to cause me to take off my eyes the Lord Jesus Christ and place them on someone else. If I allow them to succeed, I'm the problem. They are not the problem. Anyone who causes me to take off my eyes, the Lord Jesus Christ, and focus on myself, and so focus on my role, and focus on my title, and focus on someone's own role or someone's own title and position, I am the problem, not the person who tried to oppose me. So without being fighting in any way by those who oppose you, by those who want to make you take off your eyes the Lord Jesus Christ, by those who want to cause you to put aside the gospel of Jesus Christ being taken to the ends of the earth as your primary goal, I should not be frightened or distracted by such. He's being frightened. There's no reason to be frightened. There's no reason to be frightened that he's going to have a better role, a bigger role than myself. There's no room for that fright. There's no room for any fright that he's going to have a bigger title than myself. By the way, I'm no longer first vice president of Christian Missionary Fellowship. As you said in your introduction, I'm not. No, don't be frightened that you not occupy a certain position. Don't be frightened by that. It's a distraction. There is oneness of spirit that comes from looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, contained as one man for the gospel, that comes from focusing on the goal. And I'll have no reason to be frightened by anything. I have no reason to be frightened by anything. So, with Brazak, the founder of our ministry and our leader, gone, we are encouraging ourselves, exhorting ourselves, to maintain a conduct, to maintain a behavior, to put on that character that upholds the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fully conscious of the fact that a church is built not just on good doctrines. We have good doctrine. I believe so. Not on zeal, and I think we have zeal. But that a church is built on character. Church is built on conduct. No matter the correct doctrine, no matter the zeal, no matter the sacrifice I make, no matter whatever I do, if I am failing in character, no church can be built. Then they need to maintain the same spirit. They need to contend as one man for the gospel. It just depends on where my eyes are. Where my eyes are. If they're on the Lord Jesus Christ and they need to take the gospel all over, we will always be of the same spirit. We'll always contend as one man in spite of differences in opinion, in taste, in desire. This is a time also when I tell the brethren that we are in such desperate need of each other, and may God grant us grace to see our need of each other. If you've never seen your need for the brethren, please ask God to open your eyes, to give you grace to see your need for the brethren. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, there's the example of the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 12, Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. It is a passage that has always meant much to me. And I've used it a lot to tell the brethren. It is great grace to know how much you need your brother, so that it will not be with ease that you give up your brother. Here is the Apostle Paul, full of zeal for the gospel. Full of zeal for the gospel. And he had a message. He went to a town called Troas, there to preach the gospel. And said the Lord opened a door for him. The door was opened by God. He had zeal. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So he had the anointing of God upon him. He was anointed. He had spiritual gifts. He was a great evangelist. And he performed miracles of healing. And here was a door opened by the Lord for him. But he had no peace. He did not go in to preach. He abandoned an open door. Why? Because he did not find his brother Titus, a junior co-worker. Anointed by God. Full of zeal, full of spiritual gifts. But he said no to an open door, opened by the Lord, because not find a junior co-worker. Here Paul tells me in particular, that there's something more than just my zeal. My need for my brother. My brother. His brother was absent. His junior brother was absent. His junior co-worker was not there. He had anointing. He's telling me there's something more important than my anointing. My need for my brother. There's something more important than the anointing on me. My need for my brother. There's something more important than my charisma. My need for my brother. There's something more important than the spiritual gifts I have. My need for my brother, even a junior co-worker. I don't know what the problem was. If there was a problem. But in spite of anointing, in spite of charisma, in spite of spiritual gifts, in spite of his zeal, he found himself handicapped because his brother was not there. He found himself limited because his brother was not there. He did not just press on. He knew he could not without his brother. He needs grace to see that my need for my brother, the absence of my brother, paralyzes me. Paralyzes you. It caused this apostle to stop maybe a crusade in Troas. Give up that crusade he could have in Troas. He says, without my brother, I'm paralyzed. I cannot have this crusade. Without my brother, I'm paralyzed. I cannot go on. He was humble enough. He was humble enough. And it's in the scriptures for our instruction. I believe if he went in and preached, there would have been converts. I believe that. I believe if he went in and preached, some sick people would have been healed. I believe it. He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was not living in sin. But he said, and he says to me, there is something more and more important. And it is a test on our pride. It's a test on our pride. I'm anointed. I have charisma. I can go on. I'm anointed. The power of God is upon me. The Spirit of God is upon me. I can move on. I can move on without you. And God weighs our hearts. And he knows when it is pride. He knows when it is pride. Also, at a time as this, for us in Christian Missionary Fellowship, I tell the brethren, if you ever had need for your brother, it is now. If you ever had need for your sister, it is now. If you ever had need for each other, it is now. To be an encouragement to each other, to be a strengthening force to each other. Even if it means that we slow down everything and bring each other and everyone on board, it should be done. With this example, that an anointed man of God, a zealous man of God, who sacrificed everything for Jesus, gave up a crusade because a junior co-worker was not there. He felt he could not go ahead. He was paralyzed. He would not do it alone. We can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. No one can do it alone. If there was a time we needed each other, it is now. It is now. Thank God, a great apostle like Paul knew it. So I said goodbye to them. Goodbye. Goodbye, crusade. Goodbye. Goodbye. I must move on. I must go to Macedonia. There I'll be able to minister because he'll be there with me. We'll be there together. I'll never step in, even an open door, opened by the Lord, alone. It's a great lesson I bring to the brethren of our ministry at this time with Brother Zach gone. Brother Zach was there. He did many things. He represented many things. He's gone. What we need is come together, stand with each other, be the strengthening force of the other. And no one going ahead, going on, because like Paul is anointed, like Paul, he has the gifts and the talents and whatever. For you, I also bring that. You need each other. And you need each other more than maybe you know. So that God will accomplish through us the many things he has promised. I believe God has great plans for us as a ministry and through us. I firmly believe them. I firmly believe God has great plans. I don't think that Brother died and the prophetic utterances we've received in the past from him, from others, from people, not even of our ministry, about what God is planning to do in our ministry and through our ministry. I look forward for the world revival. I look forward to many things. Brother did not go with them. But a lot will depend on us now. If we conduct ourselves rightly, if we stand in one spirit as one man, if we see our need for each other so that we lean on each other, we will stand strong to accomplish the great things God has for us. My prayer is that will be so. My prayer that will be so for you, for me, for you here in the U.S., for us back home, so that in eternity we'll look back and say, to God be all the glory, that He could use us, that He could use us to accomplish great things. And the Lord bless you. I'll stop here for today.